You know, we obviously talk about ghosts on this show, but do ghosts ever talk about us amongst themselves? On a recent EPP bonus episode titled Dead or Alive, we hear the story of spirits who gather in a little boy's room and seem to discuss the family and the home they inhabit.
You won't forget this one.
It's a one-of-a-kind ghost story, and you're only going to hear it in our EPP bonus section. Sign up to be an EPP. It's only $5 a month. You keep the wind and the sails of the show. You keep it afloat. You keep it on the air with all the free episodes, and you get access to more than 50 bonus episodes, exclusive video content, and so much more. Please sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com, and let's keep Real Ghost Stories Online on the air.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a lost loved one just wants to join in on the festivities and excitement at a baby shower. You'll never think of the toy aisle the same way again after a story from a Walmart employee. A child finds that the dolls in her room may be scarier than anything she can imagine. And a college theater has a resident entity that lurks in the shadows. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
I get freaked out sometimes just being in certain aisles of Walmart.
Yeah.
And it's more so
the people.
I wasn't going to say that directly, but but something along those lines. It's not every. It really kind of depends what Walmart you go to.
Yeah, it does.
If you're in a city with multiple Walmarts, you can kind of pick the ones. There's some that are very nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some where you go, I don't think humanity is all that well in this part of the neck of the woods.
Yeah.
But I remember back, gosh, years ago, I don't remember where I was, but I don't know why they had this policy at Walmart. Maybe they still do have this policy. But they had purchased a remote broadcast from the radio station I was at. They did, or it might have been one of the brands within the store. It might have been like a Pepsi deal or something. Where they want you to, you go out, you broadcast live for 2 hours, hey, coming out to the Walmart or whatever, and pick up some Pepsi or whatever the thing was. And they were very, very, very adamant that no pictures could be taken in the store, no video could be taken in the store. And this was before camera phones, so I think they're kind of screwed on this whole concept today. I don't think they could even try to remotely enforce such a thing.
Okay.
But back then, when you know, if you had a digital camera, it was one of those giant blobs that you would have to kind of haul out of something. And I don't know why it was, but it was, they were like, there was multiple, you know, really at a remote, you know, we would take pictures and put them up on the website so we can look at the exciting photos of you, you know, chilling Pepsi at Walmart. The hell would want to look at those? I don't know. But in the infinite wisdom of program directors, we put them up. They were just like, there was like five people that came up to us that day. Are those pictures, are they, it's deleted? Are they gone? It was like the FBI.
Wow. That's weird.
I don't know why or what the deal was. But they were like, there was some sort of very strict policy, and you cannot take video or photos within the store. And I remember back at that time, I know they were having some issues with, I think, some of the pricing. Like, it was, I don't know what you'd call it, but where their pricing was slightly too low, where it was not being remotely competitive. I don't know how that works, but I know there's some laws about getting prices to a certain threshold against competitors where it doesn't, you can't do it, essentially. So I don't know if that was it. They didn't want to like get caught with those signs as evidence. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
But,
cause that's some of the best pictures on the internet.
I know it is.
Walmart ones.
It was really kind of creepy and it was bizarre. I don't know. So anyway, we were in a Walmart earlier today. We still shop there and we went to our friendly, nice one.
Yeah.
But, and Harper wanted to find Nemo. I will say this. They could use a little work on their fish tanks.
Yes.
They really should pay a little more attention to the fish that they sell at Walmart or stop selling fish, because I have yet to see one that is like remotely clean and the fish look like they're halfway dead.
And when there are floating fish, you have to tell the 2-year-old well, she's three now.
Yeah.
That,
it's sunbathing.
They're napping.
Yes, that's exactly what's going on. Let's go look at Elmo stuff or something. Anyhow, 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. That is the number to call in and share your real ghost story with us. We would absolutely love to hear it. All right, first letter for today. Jane writes in, I still am not entirely certain that this experience constitutes as paranormal, but I figure I'd share in hopes of receiving some insight on the experience from you both or other listeners. 2 weeks ago, my husband and I drove to California from Washington to celebrate our baby shower and to spend some time with family before the last few weeks of my pregnancy. We always make my mom's house home base during our stays in California because she's laid back and tolerates our two wily dogs. She lives in an old 1920s bungalow-style home that I've always felt had some extra inhabitants of the non-flesh persuasion. The morning of my shower, I had noticed mine and my brother's old baby blanket lying on the living room floor with some other blankets or our couch surfing friends had used the night before. I picked it up and put it on the couch, thinking my mom must have pulled it out to display at the shower. However, upon entering the living room and seeing the blanket, a befuddled look overcame my mom and she kind of tentatively asked where I came across the blankets, as it had been packed away in storage for years. I told her I'd assume she brought it out for nostalgic purposes or whatever, and she confirmed she definitely did no such thing, and she in fact hadn't thought of that blanket in ages. That's really all there's to the story. We checked around with my brother and anyone else who could have possibly had access to storage and the blanket, and that yielded no's all around. The only really plausible explanation for me is that it was a paranormal act, and most definitely my dad, who passed away when I was 17. After his passing, I would occasionally smell his cologne throughout my mom's house, which I'd always found peculiar because they divorced years before she moved into the home. I'd also frequently see a shadow in her kitchen peek around the doorway in the living room when I'd be on the couch doing homework. I never felt scared or threatened by the shadow or smell of cologne and always just assumed it was just Dad checking in and seeing what we were up to. I feel that the blanket's abrupt and unexplainable appearance was his way of letting us know he's around and aware of the impending new addition to the family. So these are my thoughts on what we've deemed the phantom blanket, what I feel to be the source. Let me know what you think. P.S. I absolutely love the show. Thank you for occupying my long, daunting hours at work. Jane.
I think it could be paranormal.
Oh, certainly.
And we've had other stories of things coming out of essentially buried in closet type places,
mm-hmm.
and or things being hidden into buried places like that.
Sure.
So, yeah, I think it's paranormal. I think that was just meant to be a sign.
So speaking of the logistics of it, though,
mm-hmm.
let's say you had a hidden camera. Let's say you had a security camera, and it's showing on the tub or whatever where the blankets are being stored in storage, and then on the couch where they landed or wherever they landed. What would that camera show?
I almost imagine this blanket just kind of floating down the hall and to the spot where it was found. But so often things go missing and reappear without people seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, maybe it's a case like that, that it's just done so fast you can't see it, or it's they somehow have the ability to make it disappear with them and then reappear certain places.
Could it be teleported? Like, that's my question when it comes to that stuff is it that case where tub lid opens up, it gets yanked out, it gets dragged down the hall, and then dropped in place? Or is it just, boom, it's there?
It's probably more of just like the second scenario where it's just there.
Because you have to wonder, I mean, if they have the ability to do things like this, what sort of rules do they have to play by?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I don't know.
It's something that's always made me wonder, especially with things like that. I mean, it's one thing if, like, the coat or the, you know, whatever object across the room is just drug across. Okay, I get that. I don't necessarily think it's always teleported, but that's, like, quite a feat. to get something out of storage, probably under other boxes, probably under a lot of things.
Yeah.
How did that work? You know, I'd be curious to know, too, in a case like that, if they went and checked their storage, if they could even pinpoint where it was, if they knew what, oh, it's in this box. What does a box look like? Does it look like it's been rummaged through?
I know.
I'm very curious about that that concept because we hear it quite a bit. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Chris writes in, just finished the episode Night Terror. It was a discussion of Target versus Walmart. For me, Walmart wins. Here's why. I worked overnights for about 4 years. One night during the holiday season, I had to stock toys in the doll aisle. There were Disney princess baby dolls that would laugh and move their heads. After about a million trips down said aisle, I got sick of hearing it and shouted, "Knock it off or I'm going to dump you all down Oscar," which is a trash compactor they had there. A Cinderella doll turned its head without laughing, thank God, and watched me walk past it back to the main aisle. Thankfully, it was lunchtime, and when I came back, I was pulled to another department. If you want, I'll write it again with stories from the Walmart my sister works at. It's built where the Spencer State Hospital stood. Oh, that's got to be a pleasant Walmart. Keep up the awesome work. Planning on becoming an EPP after our vacation.
Yeah, I want to hear more stories from Walmart.
HauntedWalmarts.com. Wow, that is really interesting.
And of course, there's all kinds of dolls that move on their own.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm understanding this as being different than like those cats and dogs and boxes that you walk by and they purr and they try and pet you.
Yeah, that are triggered.
Yeah.
Yeah. When it actually moves like that, I got insulted. Like, I'm going to stare you down.
Yep.
That's pretty creepy.
Yeah.
You know, and it's probably not the dolls. There's probably something else going on there on that plot of land. What's really interesting about that and the idea of the Walmart, if you will, and it's not in every case by any stretch of the imagination, but I can remember several times over the course of my life in various places that I've lived where in some community, there was a battle about a Walmart, meaning yeah. it coming into the town.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it was just, we don't want the Walmart here, and they want to build it out on this empty plot of land out somewhere. And then sometimes it was, there's a lot of homes here, and they'd like to buy all the homes up and plop it down.
Yeah.
So, you know, depending on where it physically landed, I mean, there was... You know, there was some times where there was a lot of people who didn't want to, you know, sell their home or get rid of their home. But if it got voted out, you basically had to sell your home. You know, it's like city development and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And I could imagine there'd be a lot of not so happy emotions there of homes that were, you know, taken down and then the Walmart went up.
Yeah.
And that could be for really any store or property that has to have that sort of thing have gone through. But just with the massive expansion of that store over the last 10 to 15 years, just by the numbers, there's probably a lot more of those that had happened to that than anything else.
Sure.
So I'm wondering how much property have those stores popped onto where it's not so much who's going through the store now, but what it's been built upon that's causing some of these things to happen. You know, interesting stuff. Very interesting stuff. Thank you for writing in, and please do share more. John writes in, "Hi there, love the show. I listen every day at work in the early hours of the morning when it's still quite dark out. I know not too smart on my part, but hey, I enjoy a good scare. I was going to say stare, but scare.
You got it.
Is the correct word.
Yes.
I'll start by sharing an experience I had not too long ago at my fiance's house. We have a 5-year-old daughter and a 2-year-old son. Our daughter has her own room, and our son sleeps in my fiancé's room at the moment. One night, after putting both kids to bed, my fiancé and I were sitting in the living room just watching TV, when all of a sudden, our daughter comes running down the hall with a frightened look on her face, saying, 'Mommy, Daddy, something is moving the heads on my dolls.' We instantly laughed, thinking she was having a dream or it just was being her wild imagination, and told her there is nothing moving her dolls and to go back to bed. She goes back to her room, but instead of going back to bed, she brings all of her dolls out and puts them on the couch, and we again start to laugh. Shortly after, I notice myself periodically looking at the dolls. I should probably add that I do not like dolls. Began to think maybe there was some truth to what she was saying, but eventually just brushed it off. She hasn't said anything about her dolls since then. But a month or two later, we were fast asleep, and in the middle of the night, our son wakes up screaming bloody murder. My fiancé quickly jumps out of bed, and what I assume is the motherly instinct kicking in, and I too jump up, thinking someone is in the house. My fiancé pulled our son out of bed, holding him, but we both noticed he would not break eyesight of the wall next to his bed. He kept looking up and down the wall, just shaking and crying. We figured maybe he had a bad dream. We eventually got him to go back to sleep. The next morning, we asked him what scared him last night, and he replied in a 2-year-old voice, "The man scare me." That's my best 2-year-old voice. "The man scare me."
There you go.
That would be really creepy.
Mm-hmm.
We still just figured it was a bad dream, and since then, nothing has woke him up like that in the middle of the night. But a month or so goes by, and both kids were sleeping. I was lying in bed waiting for my fiancé to get out of the shower and come to bed. I all of a sudden got a very uneasy feeling in her room, almost like something was watching me. Having experiences in the past, I have kind of gotten used to being in spooky situations, but this one felt very different. Not sure what exactly made me feel that way, but as quick as the feeling appeared, it went away, and I have yet to get the same feeling again. I have many other experiences from past houses I've lived in the current house I'm in now and will soon write in again if you'd like to hear more. Let me know your thoughts on the experiences I've shared. And again, I love your show. Keep up the good work. Thanks for sharing.
I think there's something going on affecting both children.
Same thing?
I think so. And I think it may be taking different forms.
Okay.
By moving the dolls to scare the little girl and then just showing itself to scare the little boy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's something going on, but I don't know why it would just be confined to just the one room. That's why I don't understand the rules of ghostly hauntings and how far they can reach or not reach.
Mm-hmm. Is it like a sentence when you die? Like, well, based on what you've done, here's the type of passport you get. You know, it's like, yeah. Like different countries, you're only allowed, there's not a ton left, but there's some, obviously, in our world where you can't leave your own country,
mm-hmm.
Okay? Is it kind of like that in the dead world if you're a ghost? Well, you're going to be a ghost, but here's the restrictions you get for whatever reason.
Sure. Possibly. It's hard to know. I mean, because you have some, like, yesterday we had a story of a great-grandmother that followed her kid
mm-hmm.
multiple homes and different distances. And then
sure.
You have some that it seems like they can't leave a bedroom. So, I have no idea.
I wonder, too, if really there are no restrictions, it's just a matter of the entity being comfortable enough to leave where it's at.
Yeah.
You know, just being, there's shy people. There's probably sure. Shy ghosts. And, do they feel some sense of doom? I mean, they're already dead, but leaving a certain comfort area, maybe something comes over them and they're like, I don't want to feel that. I don't know what that is. I've already come to realize I'm dead and I don't want to push the envelope any further by going over there, because when I do, I get this feeling.
Yeah.
And maybe there's just a comfort level and something so horrifying to them to leave where they're at
mm-hmm.
that they just stay. I don't know. Maybe some go and adventure out beyond it and they realize, oh, I can do this.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's one of those things. We'll never know the answers to.
No, we'll never know.
Next letter. Hi, Tony and Jenny. Forgive me for not sharing my real name, but many friends call me pronounce as you please. I've heard Sio, C-O, most commonly though. Spelled S-I-O.
C-O.
C-O. Okay. I currently live in Minnesota. Although I'm from Missouri, I've been listening to your show off and on since I discovered it last Halloween. I have to say, I love it. It was also a great distraction when flying back home from my grandma's funeral in last February. Sadly, I don't currently have the funds to be an EPP, but planning on joining once I do. Until then, slowly playing catch up, try to get to the current episode by binge listening when I can. On a side note, my roommate now occasionally listens with me because she thinks the two of you sound adorable and like a great couple. Direct quote.
That's funny.
On to ghost story stuff. Now for backstory of a sort. I don't think of myself as particularly sensitive. In fact, I'm more skeptical in most cases. That said, I did grow up in a haunted house with plenty of weirdness that occurred to make it hard to explain any other way. However, though there are plenty of things to say about the entity I've always called George and the creepy red eyes in the basement, I decided you might like to read about my experiences with Merlin, which was something less than nice, shall we say. I'd like to be in the theater of a local junior college I attended. I'm sorry, but I won't give the name of the JC or the location, as I don't want to accidentally encourage anyone to do something stupid regarding it that might harm them or the junior college. The first encounter we had with me, we came to call Merlin, was during rehearsals for a Connecticut Yankee, hence the name. Those of us in the cast weren't regular actors or drama students, but we were all students who often hung out in the theater's green room and helped with set building and the like. The majority of the cast were on stage goofing around as we waited for the director to show up to start rehearsals. The rest of the cast were in class. To give you a sense of the layout of things, the stage had two small onstage wings that branched from the sides in front of the backstage curtains. The left side wing from onstage went along a brick wall on the side of the room and could only be accessed from backstage. But the right side wing went along the hall that led backstage from outside the theater. There's a door in the wall along the right side wing with two long and thin windows flanking it that let you see into the hall from the stage. At almost right angle to that door in the hall are the double doors that lead backstage, which are pushed back almost all the way against the wall to keep them out of the way when open. There's maybe 2 feet total between the window closet to the double doors and where you can see backstage when standing on stage. So anyone who walks past the windows will be seen backstage within a second or two of walking past the window. There's nowhere else to go and nothing to hide behind if they turned and left again. You'd see them leaving. Well, we were on stage, as I said, when several of us spotted what we thought was something walking past the windows. So we looked backstage to see if it was a director. By the time a solid minute went by, without seeing anyone, we started realizing something was very wrong. Getting everyone's take on what they'd seen, we managed to get a firm idea on what was seen. A person, about 6 foot tall, the dark jacket with a hood and close-fit jeans or pants. The part that was them was that the legs didn't move right for a person. They went backwards at the knee during the step instead of forwards. Probably needless to say, not one of us moved from the stage until the director finally showed up for real because we didn't know what it was or what was there or what it was. We took to referring to the thing as Merlin to avoid really talking about it. It wasn't something we'd experienced before hanging out in the green room, but it definitely creeped the group out. There was a weird cold spot outside the door to the projection room upstairs, and the door was hard to open whenever it was there. So we assumed that that was its spot and avoided messing with it when we could. At the time, I was a rather foolish early 20-something and had a malachite and a silver pendulum that I used as a meditation focus sometimes. I'd read about using a pendulum and cloth with symbols and words on it as a divination tool and thought of using it to find out something about Merlin. Yes, similar to a Ouija board. Bad idea, right? You have no idea. I and three friends sat down under the stairs up to the projector room with our divination cloth and pendulum, and set out to contact Merlin. We got through maybe 2 questions before the pendulum started swinging wildly enough to alarm me since I was holding the chain. I demanded that it stop and that we didn't want to talk to anyone. There was a feeling of a jerk against the chain and the pendulum exploded into 10 or 12 pieces. I still had the scar on my wrist where one shard cut me and had to be removed. That was the last time I played with divination of any kind. I don't know if Merlin is still there since I no longer live in the area. For the longest time, he could get the feeling of something glaring at you from inside the theater through the big glass windows that led into the lobby whenever you walked by it after dark. It was a really creepy vibe, and most of us stopped hanging out in the green room. So as I said, I'm not sure what became of it. Sorry this took so long. Maybe I'll write back in with some of the stories I have about George and the thing in the basement. I hope you enjoyed this and that it wasn't too disjointed. Keep up the amazing work.
I was a little concerned when they were talking about the description of what they saw go by those windows.
With the legs?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was starting to think, okay, something has got like legs backwards or something not quite right.
Yeah, and that's usually a sign that it's something that's in the realms of being demonic.
Mm-hmm.
When you have things like that, whether it's doing anything to you or not, or you're just catching a glimpse of it. From what we understand, from what we know about, you know, people ghosts coming back and showing themselves, if you're going to see a full-fledged figure, it's usually fairly representative of the figure mm-hmm. that the person was. Or if it's just energy, it's an orb or a shadow or something.
Yeah.
If you're seeing the full-fledged figure and there's something that wrong about it, you know, I don't think, like, the average ghost is going to come back with their legs reversed.
Mm-hmm.
At least we've never heard of a happy one doing that anyway.
And it also seemed to have quite a bit of power, the way it made her pendulum mm-hmm. shatter.
Yeah.
So I think this was more than just a human ghost.
Yeah, there was something there that it's a good thing they didn't mess with it any more than they did.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see that being a much worse story.
Yeah.
In terms of, and then this happened. Lucky it stopped where it did. Thank you for writing that in and sharing that story with us. And yes, please do share the story of George. I like how people name their ghosts.
Yeah, I do too.
And the names that they come up with. Miles writes in, "Hey, Tony and Jenny, love your show. Although I'm fairly new, I can say it's definitely my favorite radio show. Never looked much into types of ghosts and the science behind it, but I love the paranormal and listen to your podcast whenever I have the opportunity. Anyway, I've noticed around my ranch house at multiple times a mysterious figure. I've never seen it up close, but sometimes out of the corner of my eye. It appears to have some physical form because it knocks on my window every other night. Once I mustered up the strength to peek through my window, I saw a tall figure. Its head, the vague shape of an upside-down cone. The bottom tip appears lumpy, as if something is wrapped around it like a cast. It was spotted with a large black dot, and the rest of the body was gray with a white glowing aura around it. Coincidentally, there's a white cat with black spots who hangs around our house. I chased it away with my old dog, but only for it to return by that evening. Earlier tonight, I was knocking. The knocking was going on. It doesn't have a rhythm. It will knock twice, wait a few minutes, knock once, and repeat, but not necessarily in that order. I've been fed up at this point, grabbed my phone, turned on the flashlight, and rushed outside. There was nothing there. I said something along the lines of, "Hey, please stop the knocking. It's scaring me, and I can't sleep." The knocking stopped. I seem to see it watching me around the house, kind of thing you'd see out of the corner of your eye. Do you think there could be a connection between the cat and the spirit, and is the spirit guarding me in some sort of way? I'm very sensitive to the paranormal, so I can differ what is paranormal and normal. If you wish, I can update you later on the matter. This has only been going on for a few weeks. I've been typing this for about 10 minutes, and the knocking has yet to resume. On top of that, it only occurs at night on my bedroom window. Demon? My family has no relations to the occult that I know of. Now that I think about it, there's a forest being torn down nearby my house. Maybe a spirit has been angered by this. It's yet to do anything malevolent, although sometimes my cockatiel gets incredibly scared by nothing. Sorry that my letter is so long and unorganized. I do that, and there were a lot of details to get across. For all I know, I have a guardian angel. Listen to you later, Miles.
I'm a little, I don't know.
I'm not getting demon out of this.
No, but the knocking is kind of concerning.
Well, it's not in patterns of threes.
It's like two and then one, and then one and then two.
But he said not in that order.
Well, he said sometimes it changes.
Sure.
There's only so many ways you can do two and one.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm hoping that it didn't come in when, after the knocking, you went outside to tell it to stop.
The fact that it honored his wishes makes me also feel that it's not so bad.
Okay, did it honor his wishes, or did it come in and it doesn't need to knock anymore?
Because he recognized it, essentially?
Yeah.
Not just saying, you opened the door and then it came in.
Right.
It was recognized. But, I don't know.
But it could have come in as well.
Sure. Keep us updated.
Yeah.
There's only one way to know, and that's really giving it time to see what happens. Mm-hmm. Nothing else happens? Maybe it listened to you and it realized it was scaring you. Other things start happening, it might eat your cockatiel.
Could do that.
I say that jokingly, but there has been stories of animals that have ended up not so well.
Yeah.
When dark things have come into people's homes, which would not be a funny thing to have happen by any means. But I guess just really, you know, watch.
Mm-hmm.
See what you have going on there and try to, you know, not give it the attention that it may be looking for. If it's something bad.
Yeah.
Either way, you're not going to know. But I would just try not to give it too much attention. Stir it up.
Just let us know how it goes.
Yeah, please do update us. Amanda writes in, before I begin to give a little backstory. The house I grew up in was previously lived in by my aunt, uncle, and their daughter, who was just at that baby toddler line when the very first occurrence I've heard about happened in that crazy house. Okay, so when my aunt and they lived in the house, they decided to renovate. All was well until one night, after a long day of renovations, they sat down to watch TV. There had been a door leaning up against the wall, not sure if it was going on or had just been taken off. Either way, it was up against the wall and had been for a few days. This was back in the 80s when there was real good exterior door material, nice and heavy. So suddenly, as they're sitting there watching TV, the door suddenly flies forward and falls on the ground. There was no gust of wind and nobody around it. Absolutely no reason for it to have fallen. Needless to say, they were puzzled and a bit afraid, but they just picked it up and went on with the night. Some time goes by, and by now my cousin was probably just about to turn 3. My aunt had her in the bathtub with the door open so she could run back and forth from the kitchen to the bathroom, as these rooms were connected. My aunt was making dinner, and she heard my cousin carrying on a full and very serious conversation. She goes in, and my cousin was staring up in the corner of the bathroom ceiling, totally oblivious to her mom standing there watching her, all while just chatting away. So my aunt asks, who are you talking to, sweetie? She stopped talking and looked at my aunt and says, don't worry, mommy. He can't hurt you. He's dead. And just goes right on talking to him. She said she grabbed her as fast as she could and ran a few houses down to her sister's house. She called the priest at her church and had the house blessed. Not sure if that was the end of their experiences while they lived there, because a short time later, she sold the place to my dad and we moved in. But while they were renovating, they were tearing down walls, and inside the wall, they found a man's baptism certificate, which, in my opinion, is scary enough. This certificate is still in the attic where they put it, by the way. Fast forward a few years, and I'm sleeping in my bedroom, and my light turns on in the middle of the night by itself. Parents try to explain it away as an electrical issue. I don't think so. Never happened before or since. So go forward about 10 years, I no longer lived in the house, but my stepmom did. My dad passed away, and it was hard for her to leave the home. So now I'm married with a 2-year-old boy who always talks to his papa. It freaks me out and confirms and confronts me, or comforts me at the same time. Well, one day, my mother-in-law says, I want to know what your dad looked like when he was a kid, because I have a feeling my boy looks like him. Literally the next day, my stepmom calls and tells me, her collage frame fell off the wall.
Collage.
Collage frame fell off the wall. The nail was still intact in the wall. 15 years I lived in that house, a picture has never fallen off the wall. She said it fell off the wall, but it wasn't on the ground like it had fallen. It was leaning up against the wall as if someone had placed it there. Guess what this photo collage contained? You guessed it, a photo of my dad when he was a kid. Also, right after my dad passed, my stepmom was sitting at the kitchen table and she said the door opened, super squeaky. And my dad just appeared and he told her, I'm okay. And he vanished. Still to this day, she swears it happened. I believe it. That house is crazy. There have been other little things that have happened in that house, but I feel like these are the more eerie things. Last thing I have to say is when I lived there, I had a reoccurring nightmare every single night. Once I moved, I never had it again. Hope you like my story, and I'm sorry if this was a lot at once and a little confusing. Love the show. Take care.
I wonder if some houses are easier for ghosts to stay in than others. It sounds like it had activity before mm-hmm. the father passed away, but it sounded like he was able to do quite a bit mm-hmm. in that home as far as showing himself or moving pictures, things like that.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I would suppose if you have a haunting, if you have an existing haunting and the house has been, you know, comfortable for those ghosts, mm-hmm. I would think that it would likely also be comfortable for other ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
Just for whatever reason, it produces something that makes it a comforting environment. Or you could also argue in that thought process too of, well, maybe that one ghost is already taking all the energy up and be more difficult. I don't know. I think maybe in some places there's more energy to go around and then you have multiple hauntings. In some places, maybe there's already, it's filled and there's no vacancy anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think it really depends on the property, but I think you're very much onto something there.
I don't know. It just seems like a pattern of hauntings that you don't know who it is initially, and then somebody in the family dies, but then you find out they are there as well.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
Our phone number here, 855-853-4802, to share your real ghost story with us. We would love to hear it. Of course, if you can, please press subscribe, whatever platform it is you're listening to us on. That helps us grow the show, climb up in those rankings, and more people finding us. So thank you in advance for pressing subscribe. All right. Hey, guys. My name is this Ronnie or Roni? R-O-N-I.
It's Ronnie.
Is it Ronnie?
Yeah, it's not Roni like macaroni.
Oh, I was thinking Bobby Brown tenderoni.
It's Ronnie.
Okay. Never know.
Okay.
Because it's spelled like that.
I think it may be a girl named Ronnie.
Okay.
But I'm not positive.
Okay. Just checking.
Okay.
I guess I ought to start with a cliche. I'm very much a skeptic. From the time I was 6 to the time I was 18, I lived with my parents in a ranch-style house I believe was built sometime in the 60s. And I'm not going to mince words, skeptical or not, that house was creepy. I felt uneasy there a lot. And in the 12 years I lived there, I heard and saw a lot of things, some of which I managed to explain away as I got older. But there's one thing that happened to me when I was 13 or 14 years old that still makes me pretty uneasy when I think about it. I decided to move my bedroom into the basement because being in middle school, I guess I decided that the extra privacy somehow trumped how terrifying that basement was. So late one night, I was lying in bed watching TV, and out of the corner of my eye, I thought I saw a movement. I looked down just in time to see what looked like a head of hair duck under my bed. So, of course, I'm scared, but I was thinking that it had to be the cat. I'm just paranoid because, again, that basement is terrifying. So I look around to see if the cat was anywhere else because I'll be damned if I'm actually looking under that bed to check. And, of course, there's the cat sleeping in the chair on the other side of the room. There have been very few occurrences in my life where I'm so scared that it literally feels like my blood has run cold, but suffice it to say, this was one of them. So I'm just sitting in the bed wondering if it would be worse to stay put or to jump off the bed and make a break for it. I wind up going for it and hauling ass upstairs. Still don't know what that could have been. It took years to get me down to that basement after dark again, and of course, I immediately moved back into my old bedroom. Thanks for reading. Love your show. Have a great day.
That is so scary to think either there's something that is alive under your bed or something that's dead under your bed, but you saw fur or hair. Either one is not a good, I mean, there's no good options there.
Cousin It.
Ugh.
A big old furry ghost.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really hear a whole lot about furry ghosts.
No, not really.
It's not a super common one. Interesting. Makes you wonder. And what was odd to me about that is the fact that I looked around, the cat's on the other side of the room, and the cat is not at all disturbed.
Yeah.
A lot of times you have the pets that if there's something odd in the room, they're sensing it as well, and they're going to be a little, you know, uptight.
Mm-hmm.
But they just sense, you know, nothing at all. Interesting, interesting occurrence. Thank you for sharing that. Taylor writes in, my name's Taylor. I'm from North Dakota. A graphic designer, originally discovered your podcast while trying to find something to listen to while I work. Really enjoy listening to everybody's stories. My story, whether it is paranormal or not, you tell me, happened when I was younger, around the age of 8. Now, I think this is going to sound creepy, but I lived in a house in southern Minnesota that was connected to a funeral home. I don't remember much from when I lived in that house, except that I would sometimes get a creepy feeling from it, especially from the attic and the basement areas. There was one event, however, that sticks out in my mind. On this particular evening, I remember not feeling well, and I fell asleep on the couch. My room and everyone else's bedrooms were upstairs, so when I woke up in the middle of the night, I was all alone downstairs. To give you a little information on our house, our living room was situated at the front of the house, near the front door. We also had a built-in porch on the front of the house, and our living room had big windows with sheer white curtains that looked out into the porch area. When I woke up that night, I was facing the window, and I remember seeing the shadow through the sheer curtains of a human figure standing in the porch area. At first, I thought it was a person because the door to our porch did not lock and you had to walk through the porch to get to our front door. So I thought that someone had snuck into the porch, but I remember staring at this figure for a very long time and it wouldn't move. I think it maybe moved slightly like someone would if they were just standing. I wasn't sure. Anyway, I stared at it for a long time, trying to decide if it was a human or it was something on the porch that was casting a shadow. After a while of sitting there looking at it, I freaked myself out and ran upstairs to my bedroom. The next morning, I peeked out into the porch to see if there was anything that would create a shadow like that, but I saw nothing, since everything we had on the porch sat lower than the bottom of the window. I've told my mom about this years later, and she just brushes it off, saying that ghosts don't haunt the funeral home. They haunt where they die, wherever they have a connection to. I know this makes sense, but the figure looked unmistakably like a human figure. There was a head, shoulders, torso, and the arms hung down by its side, just like someone would do if they were just standing there. I want to know what you guys think. Do you think it was a ghost?
I think it might have been a ghost, and I don't necessarily agree with ghosts don't haunt the funeral home.
Mm-hmm.
Because at some point, with an older funeral home or a newer funeral home, there's a funeral director that will pass away that has a strong connection to that place and may very well haunt it.
Well, and I just think they're giant batteries for hauntings, not necessarily of those who've died and have had their funerals there, but any ghost in general passing through.
Yeah.
Just because of all of the emotion that is expelled within those walls, if there's any place where you can probably have a lot of ghosts going on at it, because the energy, there's so much energy to go around, that's one of them.
Yeah.
I think that would really be one of them. So, yeah, I would think it was probably a ghost. If it was necessarily one of the dead people that came to the funeral home, it's hard to say. Really doesn't matter all that much. But I think you have a prime place for a haunting being at a funeral home, not because of the dead people, because of the emotions.
Yes.
Tammy writes in, hi Tony and Jenny, hope you're still enjoying producing this show. I have for you another story. I know I have sent in quite a few lately, but I know they will turn up where they should be, as fate would have it. Enjoy. After several years of living in Chicago and raising three young children, my husband and I decided to pick up our family and move to the suburbs. After months of searching for homes, we decided to settle our roots far enough from the city to have the natural experience with lots of trees, flora, fauna, Wisconsin, and cheese, but we're still within 40 minutes of downtown Chicago and all the culture the zoos, parks, and museums can provide. Our home was in a middle-class community with great schools and a bountiful choice of activities for our kids. I love my new home. When you enter the house, you walk in the door and there's a stairway up to the main living room, dining room, and a kitchen that's sectioned off by three walls and two doorways. Yes, this is important. The three bedrooms and guest bathrooms are down the hall. Down the stairs is a large family room, laundry room, bathroom, and large office. Sounds like a dream, right? I shall continue. You decide for yourself. The first year was a good one. Our family assimilated into the community and life was enjoyable. If you remember any of my stories, you'll know that I have had multiple paranormal experiences as well as being an empath. I did not have any experiences for that first year, so I began to relax. Perhaps I had outgrown my abilities. I should have been more preemptive as I look back now. I know that we should have found a house that was not within 1/8 of a mile of a well-known animal human cemetery and a river across the street. But hindsight is 20/20, and is so valuable now, but useless then. My children were 7, 9, and 11. I have two boys and one girl. The first time I saw a shadow person, I thought it was one of my children trying to play a prank on me yet again. They were devious when it came to scaring me, hiding in the bushes, on the roof, you name it. And they were creative little snots. Because my husband often worked 12 to 15 hours a day in the city, I was often alone with the kids. I sometimes used this freedom to do a little night fright to mommy. I was bent over the sink when I felt that familiar tinge, as if someone was watching me from behind. I moved only my eyes to look up into the kitchen window above my head in hopes of catching one of the little bandits and scaring them in return. I saw a shape, a medium thing, standing in my doorway, and at first thought it was my husband. I quickly realized he was still at work. I spun around and the shape darted away, disappearing around the corner. I sprinted out the kitchen door and looked to my right, where the shape had fled. Nothing was there, just a dark living room. I checked on my children and they were asleep, really asleep, drool and all. All I could think was that was what the hell was that? A few nights later, I was washing dishes again and I saw something out of the corner of my eye dart around the corner of the kitchen wall again. I chose to ignore it and resume my chores. I'd already begun to get jumpy since the first encounter and I knew my fear would feed whatever was happening. When I moved into my home, I checked it for negative energies and there were none. In fact, the house was blank as far as I could tell, so I was confused and annoyed as to when these occurrences began. A short time later, I saw the figure again, this time boldly standing in the doorway, its movement still but wavering like heat on hot pavement. Unnerved, I turned to face the dark form, and before it darted off again, this time down the hall towards my sleeping children. I rushed out the door and caught a glimpse of it slipping into my son's bedroom, and I freaked out. I ran to the door and charged in the boys' room like a warrior ready for battle and saw nothing. Sleeping boys, but no figure lurking in the corner. I stood stupefied when suddenly I heard the front door slam shut. Thinking it was my sweetie coming home, I hurried, went to the top of the stairs, only to see nothing again. No one answered my call. Over the course of several months, I had repeated encounters with this shadow person. Eventually, it became bolder. Whenever my husband was not at home, it started opening and slamming doors while I slept, day or night. Cabinets and windows would be open. And once towards the end of the shadow's stay, I woke to the smell of gas and found all my burners turned on, no flame, and one window open. It was summer, and being naturally hot, I always had the AC on full blast, and it was certainly running. No window should have been opened. I decided it was time to take more drastic measures other than simply yelling at the thing whenever it created havoc. I ran out to my Nana's Bible and began to say prayers. I left out glasses of water to calm the spirit, planted rosemary and lavender, anything I could do to help my situation and keep my children safe. My husband was a skeptic back then, and I did not even bother to tell him what was going on, since he would have shrugged it off as another one of my strange paranormal concepts. Eventually, the visit stopped, and I do not know whether it was because of my efforts or because the figure found someone else to terrorize. He was not the last entity to visit my home, nor was I the only one to experience the awareness of the paranormal. My children seem to have inherited this family gift. Insert sarcasm here. My children, as they grew older and into their teens, started to see shadow people, feel presences in their rooms, standing over them in their sleep, and get on a few occasions were physically assaulted. The rest of the entities would sit in the upper corner of my boy's room and hang there, arms stretched backwards, crouched as if ready to spring, grinning but never moving, perhaps trapped. You ask, why did we not run screaming from the house? My answer is simple. By then, 9/11 had occurred and we were not financially able to move. By the time we had the means, things had calmed considerably, and the various entity visits were shorter and they interfered with our lives less and less. Why things changed, I do not know why. I'm also not upset by this fact. They still occasionally show up, but I am more mentally able to shoo them off. I do visit the cemetery right down the road fairly often. It's very peaceful and a great place to read and take photographs. You'd not believe how fancy the animal graves are decorated versus the human ones. I'll send in a couple photographs I recently took at this cemetery if you wish. I think I've captured ghosts. I've tried to debunk them, but they seem real enough to me. Hope you enjoyed yet another one of my stories. I know you have received a few. I'm on a writing streak right now. Memories flowing. You guys are great, and thanks again for being there for all of us.
I think the house is a pit stop for ghosts.
Just kind of on the way. For whatever reason, it's a good place. The energy is right.
Yeah, I mean, being close to a cemetery, and she mentioned the river across mm-hmm. the street, so there's the water aspect. Yeah, it might just be right to be wrong.
Do you think what was going on there was an evil entity? Or just a real asshole ghost?
I think just something that was pissed off.
And just trying to be. Because it's interesting, turning the gas on, but opening the window.
Yeah.
Not quite trying to kill everyone.
It's like, I can do this, but I'm not going to kill you today.
That would be terrifying, mm-hmm. having something like that happen. Interesting story, and yes, we'd love to hear more.
Yeah.
What is interesting, what an observation she made in there is how decorated some of the pet cemetery stuff can be
mm-hmm.
as compared to the human ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that too. In my favorite cemetery, Ryanzi, back in my hometown, you go to the pet cemetery section, there's constantly stuff being updated there. All sorts of stuff everywhere. And then you go to the people areas, here and there.
I know.
I don't know if it's just because it's more condensed and there's fewer pets that have gravestones than the people. I don't know. But there seems to be more attention being paid to the dead animals.
I think it's sad to say, but I think sometimes people feel more of a connection to their pets than they do to other people.
I think that's very true.
And so that might be why. I mean,
yeah, not everyone, but no. I think in some cases that's very true.
I think if you're the kind of person that goes to the time and effort and expense to buy a plot and a headstone and have a formal grave for a pet.
That's a special pet to you.
Yeah, you're probably more likely to go and visit that.
That's true.
Than somebody who's like, well, let's bury Sparky in the backyard.
That's true. You probably are. Yeah, I'd agree there. And there's nothing wrong with that. It just would, I guess, statistically would make more sense of who's going to visit the pet grave.
Yeah.
Because most people don't get pet graves.
Right.
But if you have the means to do so, I guess you're right. You're probably more likely then to pay more attention to it
mm-hmm.
over time. Interesting. Interesting observation there. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Of course, if you like the show, we ask, please support it. Become an EPP Extra Podcast Person. Sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Get access to all of our bonus episodes, 50-some plus, exclusive video content, and more. And you are keeping the show on the air. Without our EPPs, that could not continue. Downloads continue to go up. Listenership continues to go up. And that means bandwidth expenses continue to go up as well. So that's why we need our EPPs to help us cover those costs so we can keep doing this thing. So please consider being an EPP. Make it worth your while with all those bonus episodes. So check it out, realghoststoriesonline.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.